Thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more about Hillside Assembly, you can check us out on the web at hillsideassembly.org. We hope you open your heart and your mind to hear a word from God today.
Kids, we're going to dismiss you to Kids Church. It's BGMC Sunday downstairs. We're going to be talking about missions and our missionaries. So, man, maybe today God would speak to one of our young people and call them to the mission field. How cool would that be? How amazing. There's a slogan in the NFL, they'll say, on any given Sunday, you know, any team can win. On any given Sunday, somebody's life could be ever changed and transformed by the power of God's word. They could experience a calling in their life to full-time ministry, a calling in their life to a career field. They could have God speak to their heart and bring peace to a place that is in confusion. They could bring healing to a place where there's hurting and pain. If you've got your Bibles this morning, would you turn to John chapter 5? We're looking at verses 1 through 9. We'll go just a little further at the end, I think. But John chapter 5, 1 through 9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there was in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. And before I go any further, some of you will not have verse 4 in your Bibles. And let me explain why before I read that, because I'm going to put it in our context today. For some of you that don't have verse 4, the reason for that is the Bibles that we read today, all of them, King James, New King James, NIV, whatever version that you have, they come from manuscripts. We do not have the original text, right? And so we have these manuscripts. And so when, if you are reading, and I'm trying to remember which versions have this and which don't, but if you have an older translation, there were newer manuscripts, and so they kept this in here. But some of your older versions have older manuscripts. We found older manuscripts, and this passage is not in there. So what do we take from that? I think we're gonna read it because I think it gives context to understand what is happening. All right? Is that all right? So I just want to make that clear because somebody's going to go, I don't have that in my Bible. We just want you to know why that's missing from there. So verse 4 would say this if it's in your Bible. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. Now, verse 5, picking back up there. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, while I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The title of my message today is this: Swimming Pools and Beanbag Chairs. Swimming pools and beanbag chairs. You know what? Let's bring out some props here. Jeremy's going to help me out. He's going to come up front. He's going to pull some props out of the back room first to kind of illustrate or not to just a little bit. By the way, we want to make sure that you know these props are not to schematic size. All right, so they're a little different than what it would actually have been like. But I think it's going to help our mind wrap around what God is trying to speak to us through these scriptures this morning. And so here we go. The Pool of Bethesda. A little smaller than maybe you thought. And you got your mat there. Here, I'll take the pool. We're going to put the pool over here. Again, not built to scale. And then I'm going to have Jeremy come over here, and he is going to play the position of the mat man. There he is. We don't even know this guy's name, right? And so if you ever wanted to be a superhero, this is it, Jeremy. You're now the mat man, all right? Not Batman, the mat man. All right. So he's just going to hang out there from time to time in the service today. We'll have a discussion with him, but he's going to help us out. When we started this series out talking about God's game plan, we talked about how Jesus is the greatest coach of all time, that we can test his word. And because we test his word, we can trust his word. And I want to move from what Jesus spoke about to the works that Jesus does in our life. And so that's where the focus is this morning. We're going to focus in on the works of Jesus. Question: when something doesn't work, what do? Buy a new one. All right? How about your car? If your car is not working, what do? You fix it. How many of you fix your car yourself? All right, not many hands up. Good. I was just wondering so I knew who to take my car to. That's really what I was looking for. All right, so we're all taking our car someplace, right? And I think it's important that when we look at something, that we're able to go, I understand what's wrong. You can't fix something until you understand that what's causing it to be wrong, right? If your car is you're driving down the road and it's pulling to the right or to the left, the answer to that is probably not an oil change or your air filter, right? You got something wrong with your alignment. Something's going wrong there, right? If your car's not stopping, all right, you probably don't need your spark plugs changed, right? I mean, that just makes sense. Spiritually in our lives, it's the same thing, all right? If the mat man's got problems, he's got to figure out what his problems are, because it does him no good to correct things that aren't the problem. Let's put it into a different context to wrap our mind around it, all right? Any golfers here this morning? All right. One person raised their hand 3 times in my life. I'm going to make it really clear. I am not a golfer. I've golfed 3 times in my life. My first time ever out on the links, and here I am. It's a par 3, and I put it 1 shot, 8 feet from the hole. I'm like, this is the greatest game ever made. I never even got it on the same green after that. I'd be shooting 1 hole. I'm on hole 3. I've got the ball now on hole 4. I'm like, I am not a golfer, all right? My swing is bad. But my swing might be a little better than this celebrity, Charles Barkley. I've got a video of his swing. If you want to bring that up, I'm going to do a commentary on Sir Charles, on his golf swing here. We're going to bring it up. Here it is. There you go, Chuck. You're on it. Get on that ball. There you go. Yep. Yeah, looking good. Look. Whoa. Hey. No. Okay. Line those hips up, and let's try again. Come on. Here we go. You got it. One more time. Come on. Get on it. You got it. Maybe. Here we go. Okay. If you're a golfer, you know that's not right. I'm not a golfer, and I'll tell you, I know that's not right. There's some serious problems. I actually watched a video where he discussed this, and Charles Barkley used to have a really good golf swing, and he'll go, and then something got in his head, and he does this thing now where he starts the swing, and he'll go, and then he stops, and then he'll follow through, and it's just, and he's like, I don't know how to fix it. And so I was actually watching an interview with him and Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan suggested that he would pay for him to go see a therapist to try to get that thing out of his mind so he could have that golf swing back. Because he said, it's just embarrassing going golfing with Chuck. Now, I don't know anything about golf. I don't know any of the terminology, really, very little. And I can say a lot of things like that I've heard to a golfer that's getting ready to swing, right? I can take all these terms that I've heard. I can get up on it, watch your approach, keep your eyes on the ball, align your hips, have smooth motion. You got all of that one. Hopefully you hit the ball when you say that, but I can say all these terms, but if I don't understand what they mean and I can't diagnose the problem, I'm not helping anybody. Does that make sense? And sometimes what church culture has done is we've taken things in and we regurgitate those words that we've heard without being able to help individuals acknowledge what the problem is and not really be able to help them with the solution. So I think it's important for all of us not to look at everybody else's life, but to look at our own life. To hold the mirror up and go, these are some issues that I've got. These are things that God is wanting to work with me on. Much like our life that's probably not working. Just like our man over here on the mat. there's something in our life that's probably not working right today. There's some type of dysfunction that we're faced with. There's some type of obstacle in our mind, in our heart, or in our body that we need to overcome, that Jesus is wanting to bring healing to. Speaking of our guy on the mat, how we doing, Matt, man? You hanging out over there? All right, great. Is this pool looking good to you? Wish you could take a swim? All right, we'll get to that later. So let's do this. Let's delve in a little bit deeper here. How many of you ever seen the show Dirty Jobs? Anybody watch that? Mike Rowe. I like Mike Rowe a lot. This guy takes the dirtiest jobs in the world and goes and does them for a day. And let me tell you, they are dirty. All right? They are I'm watching this sometimes, and I get a queasy stomach with some of the things that he's doing, like cleaning out the sewer or a septic tank or, I mean, just some of the places he goes. And then he's working somewhere, and he comes out, and he's like got the goggles on, and he takes them off, and it's like you got the raccoon eyes going on because everything's just filthy except for the spot right around his eyes. What I like about Mike Rowe is he's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He's not afraid to get to work. And in that way, Mike Rowe and Jesus are a lot alike. Jesus isn't afraid to get his hands dirty. And church, here is the truth. He's excited about going to work Jesus is working on. You and me. And he's excited about going to work in our lives. Let's look at Jesus on the job this morning. Here in John chapter 5, he's getting ready to get his hands dirty. Jesus shows up at this pool, the pool of Bethesda. And Bethesda means house of grace and mercy. And we'll come back to that in just a minute. He shows up at this place, and it's hard for us to wrap our mind around what it actually looked like, because there's very few places in the world that look like this today, because culture and architecture has changed. But looking it up and trying to wrap it around my mind, reading a lot of things, I'm going to try to put a word picture in your head today so that you can kind of understand what it was, where this man was sitting. The Pool of Bethesda sat in a place. It was a pool. It was not what we would consider a swimming pool like we would go to at the high school or the college. This was a pool that was kind of like an oversized hot tub. If you could imagine a hot spring, if you've ever been to one, something similar to that in style. Here it was, and the spacing, how big it was, probably between one section and two sections of our church is about the size that this pool was. There were stairs, there was a flat ground around it where you could lay, where this individual would have been, and then there was stairs that you stepped in places, and the water was approximately chest deep, a little higher, a little lower in certain places, and that is where it was. And people would gather there. Sometimes large crowds would gather there, and here comes Jesus walking into this area. It was very close to the sheep gate, and this is where they brought in certain livestock. Actually, they would walk in through this way to go to the temple for sacrifices. And so it was this side area of where heavy traffic would have been. And this is where Jesus walks in. And in my mind, I can see kind of one of these arches as Jesus would walk in, and he sees these gentlemen and ladies, young people, sitting around this pool, waiting for opportunity. Let's be really clear. This isn't a five-star resort at the Sheep Gate. It's busy. There's traffic. There's people on a mission. And then you have these individuals sitting around by the pool. Jesus isn't there to get some laps in and get a tan. He's not on vacation. It's a place where the lame and the infirmed hung out. It's where they built community. It's where they were placed. They were put for the day. Someone would help them get to this location, sit them there, they would spend the day there, and then they would pick them up, almost like daycare. And so that was the community that was built and forged, a community of outcasts, a community of people who didn't fit in. And Jesus decides to go to this place, a place where really no one wants to be. He sees all this stuff that needs to be worked on, all these people who are broken in their bodies. And I'm sure if their body was broken, they're broken in their heart and in their spirit as well. And like any job that you go to, when you go to the job site, you've got to survey it. You've got to have a starting point. And where Jesus chooses to start is with this man on the mat. Well, why did he pick the mat man? Why did he pick this guy over here? What's so special about you, mat man? I'm glad that you don't know, because I'll tell you why I think that you're so special. I think that there's some clues. I can't tell you for sure why Jesus picked this guy and not somebody else. Perhaps he was the man closest to the door. But I look at some of the details given in Scripture. Obviously, Jesus was having some conversations with people, because Jesus discovers that this man had this condition for 38 years. You've been uncomfortable. Are your legs going to sleep yet? How are you feeling? Is it comfortable? It's not very comfortable. Are your legs going to sleep yet? All right, great. We're going to have a real life demonstration of this sermon in a little bit, because he's got no feeling in his legs. It'll be great. I'm going to pick you up and you'll fall right back over. But God's going to help us out. 38 years he's here. I think Jesus picks the most difficult case in the bunch. He looks around and he sees all these individuals with broken lives. And he goes, what would people look at and go, this is the toughest case? This is the hardest challenge in the room. And I love that about Jesus. Jesus isn't looking for what's simple. Let's do something challenging this morning. Let's go after it. And he starts to have this conversation with this guy on the mat. And figuring out for 38 years. Could you imagine 38 years of coming and that's where you're going to be every day? Mom and dad are going to drop you off there, put you on the mat, hope for the best, pick you up at night. 38 years. Jeremy, how old are you? 18, 17? 18. More than double of your life. That's what you've been doing, sitting on that mat. That's a long time to be sitting in dysfunction. That's a long time. Here's point number one of this man on the mat and how Jesus works in his life. Here's point number one. There was no control over where he was placed. No control over where he was placed. It's easy for us to read the scriptures and begin to judge this man and his dysfunction and try to put him in a place, try to figure him out. Because here you are, Matt, man, you're sitting in this place at the pool of Bethesda, and you're wanting to be healed, but you're building a community of people. You surrounded yourself with a squad of individuals who have the same struggle. And that's probably not a good idea for us. I mean, if you're struggling with addiction, the last thing you want to do is build a community, a support system around you of people struggling with the same thing, right? I mean, if you're a serious alcoholic and your best friend is a struggling alcoholic and the two of you are going out and hanging out together, that probably doesn't end well, right? The math doesn't add up to a healthy outcome. So probably not a good idea. And here's a man on a mat that's surrounded by people who have the same dysfunction, the same disabilities. And what tends to people who are all struggling with the same exact thing, what tends to happen is it's really easy to go to a negative place in your mind and your heart and your spirit and then stay there. For 38 years, maybe there was hope. Maybe Matt Man started out thinking there was hope. He could be that first guy in the pool. He could get healed. But I have to wonder, after 38 years, was there still a fight in him to get well? Did he want to begin to move in areas of health? Or did he want to just settle and stay there? This is the way it is. After 38 years, what hope can I have? After 38 years, I might as well learn to live in my dysfunction. In 38 years, this guy doesn't know how to live outside of his dysfunction. This guy is seriously stuck. But he's just like all of us here at Hillside Assembly. This morning, your eyes might work. You might be able to see, but maybe you don't have any spiritual vision for where God wants to take you in your life. You may have walked through the doors this morning and you have use of your legs, But you lack the ability in your heart, the will inside yourself to move and to do what God is asking you to do. And you find you to go this morning, unable to move where God is asking you to go. And what tends to happen, church, in a lot of churches, is we build a system within the walls of our own group, of our own community, that enable us to stay dysfunctional. We find ways, mechanisms, coping skills to survive. So instead of looking in the mirror and going, this is an issue and we've got to confront it and face it, we'll complain. We'll gripe. We'll deflect. We'll displace. We'll come up with all the excuses of why we can't do what God is asking us to do. But I want to tell you, that's not the life we're meant to have. That's not what we're meant to build. That's not the purpose this church exists. That's not what God wants us to be. Let's let Jesus do the work in us. I know it's difficult. I know it's challenging. But man, if we could be honest with God and say, Lord, it's time to deal with the real issues because I want to be effective in my life. I want to move from where I'm at into the things that you have for me. And if there's something I haven't experienced yet, I want to be hungry. You haven't taught me yet. I want to start walking in it. I want to be hungry for the life that you have for me, Jesus. Surround yourself, church, with people who will help you rise up above your situations you face. We talked about this in our men's breakfast yesterday. Get a squad. Who's the squad in your life? Who are the guys who aren't going to simply enable you to stay where you're at, but like another man on a mat, they carried to Jesus when they ran up against an obstacle. They said, look, there's still a plan. God's still at work. Let's take the ceiling tiles off this place and let's get our friend before Jesus. You want friends who will come and go, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure you connect with Christ. I'm going to walk with you a mile. But here we find this mat man being placed here. This man didn't decide where he was going to be placed. He had no say in the matter. In church, there are times in life where life puts us where it puts us. It places us in a difficult, challenging situation at work, in our community, in our neighborhood, in our relationships, maybe outside of anything and any influence that we would have. Stuck on a mat and wondering, where is the hope? There's times that life puts us in those places. It's not fair, it's not comfortable, and it's not easy. But here's what I love about the power of God's word. Jesus meets you where you're at. No questions asked. The scripture doesn't say that Jesus walked up and said, Matt, man, how did you get in this situation? What did you do to get here? Not what Jesus asked. He doesn't look at them that way. Jesus meets him where he's at. And once Jesus comes into your life, he's going to ask you to move. Church, we can't stay in the same situation that we've been in. We've been empowered by God to move on. He's calling you to not stay where you're at, but to experience his grace, his love, and his mercy, and move from where you're at. Don't stay there. How many people have ever fallen in the mud? Yeah, some of you farmers, you know what I'm talking about. My parents have a hobby farm. And when you fall in the mud on a hobby farm, it is never a good situation. Go, well, this is it. But what do? Do you just sit in the mud? Go, well, this is it. Life's over. I've fallen in the mud. I'm done. Just going to lay here until I die. No. You get up. You go hose yourself off. Go take a shower. Put on some clean clothes. And you move on. Is that not what life should be with Christ? When we fall down, when we find ourselves in the mud, Pick yourself up. Allow grace to cover you. Jesus is offering you new clothes to change into. Through his sacrifice on the cross, the blood of Christ, we're washed clean. And we move on. We move on. But let's talk about this system of dysfunction. Because this wasn't a system that Mattman created. He didn't sit down after 38 years and go, this is how it's going to work. Which brings us to point two today. A broken healthcare system. By the way, not a political statement, all right? It's a spiritual statement. This is a broken system that is not working. First one in the hot tub. When the jacuzzi bubbles get going, you get to the tub first and you get healed. That's the system. Now, obviously, we read that one passage, that one verse that says, look, an angel water was being stirred and people were, was happening on a repeated basis, on a regular basis, where the water was being stirred and people were getting healed. It was happening. Because this guy is going, this is my hope. I'm waiting for things to get stirred up so I can get in the water. But there's a race that begins to happen. Every time that the water is stirred, because people aren't just in the water waiting, they're waiting on the edges of the water. And when the water gets stirred, then there's a race. It's a competition to see who God heals today. And that's messed up. Because here's Mattman who does not have the ability of his legs. He cannot physically get to the pool, but somebody else might be blind. They can't see the pool, and it may take them longer to get there, but they're at least going to get there. Mattman sees it and can't get to it. Think about how heartbreaking that must be. Can you imagine seeing your opportunity, but never being able to get to it? But isn't that us? How many times have we seen opportunities that we just can't seem to obtain? At our job, in our marriage, with our kids, at your school, in your emotional health. You're suffering with depression or self-esteem issues, and you see somebody else who seems like, I can never seem to be walking with God and doing things, and you just feel like, I can never seem to get there, what they have. How many testimonies have we ever heard? And we've gone, man, I wish that was me in their shoes. I wish I could have experienced that move of God in my life. We relate to the mat man because how many times over 38 years has he seen people get the blessing that he wants, but it's unattainable for him? He cannot reach it. But look what Jesus asks. He says, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well, man on the mat? Do you want to get well? Good answer. But that's not what he said. Verse 7 says, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, when the jacuzzi tub gets turned on, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. They beat me to the waters. What's the right answer when Jesus asks you, do you want to get well? Come on, that's it. It's yes. But that's not what this guy says. The man's response is one that is explaining the broken system to Jesus. He can't get to the place of, he can't get healed. Because I can't get to the place of healing. That's how he responds. And to be honest, that's how we respond. When Jesus comes into our life and goes, I want to make you well in this area, our thing is in our minds. We don't maybe say it, but we live it. Lord, this is why I can't. This is why I can't do what you're asking me to do. Let me tell you what I can't do, Jesus. And we get stuck. Meanwhile, Jesus is reaching out. He's trying to get you to move. He is trying to bring health to your life. And we're sitting there going, I can't because of what I've experienced in the past. I can't because I'm scarred. I can't because of this or that. You don't understand, Jesus. You don't understand what it's like to get beat up in my life. You don't understand what it's like to be mocked and ridiculed. You don't understand what it is to feel like you're dying. Wait a minute. Jesus, the man beaten, scourged, whipped, tortured, spat upon, carried his own cross, hung on a cross. When we say why we can't dance, he understands. When we say why we can't serve, why we can't give, why we can't share, why we can't invite, why we can't get up and move on from where we're at in our life, Jesus is not deterred. But what does Jesus do? He bypasses the whole system. He bypasses the whole system. Jesus doesn't even go, "Matt, man, let me help you into the pool and I'll turn these jets on. We'll get you healed." That's not what he says. He bypasses the whole health system. He goes, "Look, this system of dysfunction doesn't work. Broken people are all around this place. It's not first come, first serve. It's anybody who wants to come to Jesus can be well. Jesus can make you healthy." So he takes the mat man, and here's what he says. He gives him a prescription, a command. "Take this, and you'll feel better in the morning." To you, Mr. Mat Man, this is what Jesus says. "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. He gives a command in two parts. Here's the first one. Get up. God is saying to you this morning, get up from whatever circumstances you're facing right now. I am commanding you, my child. You are my son or you are my daughter, and I am commanding you to rise up. And if there is someone who has the authority to tell you to rise up, it is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who rose himself from the grave after 3 days of being dead. And I guarantee you, whatever you're facing can't possibly be as bad as being in a cold stone grave dead. And God is speaking to you this morning saying, get up, rise up from your circumstances. Rise up from your diagnosis that the doctor gave you. Rise up from your bad attitude. Rise up from your relationship issues. Rise up from your addiction. Rise up from your work problems. Rise up from your past. Rise up from your low self-esteem. Rise up from your dysfunction. Rise up from your failure, your frustration, your fatigue, your fear. Rise up from your bad hair day and let's go see what the kingdom of God has for you today. I'm preaching way better than you're receiving. Come on, rise up. You're not stuck where you're at. And Jesus is saying that to you this morning. He's saying it to me. He's saying it to the guy on the mat. Rise up. Get up on those feet. Can you feel them? All right, that's good. Don't fall over. I got to change my sermon if you fall over, so that's not good. Go away yet, because there's a second part to this command. Pick up your mat. Pick up your mat. I don't think we understand the power of what Jesus commanded this man to do. For 38 years, this thing that he's holding defined his life. It told everybody else who he was. He was the guy who could not walk. He was the guy who sat on the mat next to the pool. It's who he was. It defined his life. Now, Jesus is flipping the tables. Mat man, you define your circumstances because the power of God is in you. This defined who you were. Now you define what it is. Jesus is asking you to define the mats in your life, the situations and the circumstances you face. Jeremy, great job this morning. You can take the mat with you because that's what Scripture says to do. You got to give it back to my daughter, though, because that's hers, and I'll be in trouble if you keep it. Man, that's powerful. Don't let your circumstances define you. Define your circumstances with the Word of God. Yeah, the doctor may have told you that you're dealing with something for the rest of your life. But you know what? Jesus says, I'm a healer of Jesus Christ. By the way, I just want to make this clear. Every person in here, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, physical healing is a guarantee. It's guaranteed. Maybe not on this plane, Maybe not while we're on earth. I believe Jesus still does heal. I believe he still does miracles. And we pray and believe for them. But if the Lord says, I'm choosing to not heal you, instead I'm choosing for you to carry that and not let it define your life, but you define it through the word of God, guess what? Our healing still comes on the day we get to heaven. Whether we can't walk or our heart's not working the way it's supposed to, or we've been diagnosed with some type of cancer, I'm telling you right now, when you show up at heaven's gate, after this life is done, cancer is not following you there. Healing is guaranteed for us. Physical healing. But I'm going to tell you the power of God's ministry is first and foremost your spiritual healing. When your spiritual healing comes, then your mental healing is next. And the physical healing, if it comes or doesn't matter, because if God's touched my spirit and I'm forgiven and I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and my mind is in a place that tells me I am an overcomer no matter what my circumstances are, my physical Christ in heaven doesn't matter because I can do all things through Christ. I can face it down. I can be just like King David when he ran out there to face Goliath. It might be intimidating, but my God is so much bigger than whatever I have to face. Whatever bad attitude, whatever person that I've got to face down in my life, at my workplace, he's bigger and he's got it. Point three, it's going to be short, all right? Because I know I've preached long. The point of grace. This miracle took place in a place called Bethesda, the house of grace and mercy. The place of grace. It's very interesting that it says there was five covered colonnades because in Jewish culture, you have to understand that numbers are very important. They're significant. They're symbolisms to what things are happening around. There were five colonnades there. We know that in Jewish culture that three, right? Number of the Trinity, right? That's important. 3 days. Jesus was dead for 3 days. There's a power in three. We know that seven is the number of completion. We know eight is the number of new beginnings. Anybody want to take a guess what five is? Five is the symbol of grace. It's the symbol of grace. When this guy couldn't figure out how to make the system that he was in working, Jesus, by grace, but look in verse 9 in the system, changed everything. But look in verse 9 and 10. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. There should be a giant celebration. People should be going crazy in the streets. But here's what happened. The day on which it took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and the law forbids you to carry your mat." What a bunch of stupid jerks. For 38 years, a man was defined by a place of unhealth, by the mat that he sat upon. And Jesus now has empowered him to have a different life, to get up, walk, and move. And the very people who should have been the most excited, the religious leaders, instead of getting excited, what did they do? That's illegal. That's so dumb. They knew this man. They knew he couldn't walk. There's not even a glimpse of excitement, just judgment. Church, don't become a church of jerks. But when people are being healed in this place, when people are experiencing God, let's have some joy in our hearts. Let's not be the church that goes, well, they may have this fixed, but they've got 12 other things that are wrong. Look in the day. This pastor looks in the mirror. I got things wrong with me night and day. It's going to take a lifetime of Jesus working on me to get it all right. And I'm okay with that because that's what grace does. I'm okay with a church that's dysfunctional as long as we're working towards getting our dysfunction healed by Christ. We're all in this together. There's not one of us that doesn't have issues in our life that we need Jesus to work on.